Hebrews chapter 11. I hope you have your Bible with you that you'll read with us in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be starting with verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. After you found that, please turn to James chapter 2 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 8, and then James chapter 2 and verse 23. Reading first from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. This is a great faith chapter of the Word of God. And let me read verse 1 for, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the only definition of faith we have in the Bible. Now verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Verse 11, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive a seed when, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him," that is, she judged God, "faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang even there even of one of him as good as dead, speaking of Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Look, please, in James chapter 2 and verse 23, right next past Hebrews, the book of James, right past Hebrews. Hebrews 2 and verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed that it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Would you stand with me, please? I want us to read James chapter 2 and verse 23. James 2 and verse 23. Are you ready? "And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Let's read that last part of that verse. "And he was called," okay, are you ready? "And he was called the friend of God." Oh, I pray that I might be called of God, his friend. Be seated, please. The friend of God. And Abraham believed God, and he was called the friend of God. All of us, I guess, have seen sometime Mount Rushmore. Remember Mount Rushmore in South Dakota? If you haven't been there, how many have been to Mount Rushmore? Would you raise your hands? Okay. Several of us. All right. If you have seen the movie North by Northwest, you certainly saw Mount Rushmore and probably had your heart beat a little bit fast several times. On that mountain carved the face of George Washington, who was the father of our country, and John Thomas Jefferson, who was president when Crooked Creek was founded in 1803, and Abraham Lincoln, his face is on there, and Theodore Roosevelt. Now, if we were carving on Mount Rushmore the greatest man in the Old Testament, guess whose face would be on Mount Rushmore? It would be Abraham. He's the most famous man of the Old Testament. He's the most famous man in the Bible. More people know of Abraham than any other Bible character. Of course, Jesus is quite different. He is God and he is man. He's God and he's man. But Abraham was really the man who was first in friendship. And God said of Abraham, he's my friend. Oh, how I want to be a friend of God. Oh, how I'd like to have the Lord say, or God to say, oh, Bill is my friend. So I want to ask you, are you a friend of God? As we think about the friend of God, I think about several calls that we are going to talk about today. Number one is a call to friendship. I've asked you, are you a friend of God? But I want to tell you that all of us are called to be a friend of God. There's not a person in this building, there's not a person in this world who has not been called to be a friend of God. God wants you to be his friend. He wills for you to be his friend. And so we find Abraham was called the friend of God. And so God called Abraham. Just as God has called you, God has called all of us, God has spoken to all of us in his word through his son. God has called us and God has spoken to us. There were several different times that God called Abraham. I'm glad that God just doesn't call us once, that he calls us a multitude of times. God called Abraham in Ur of Chaldees in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Stephen spoke about that. Ur of Chaldees. That is in the very cradle of civilization, located between the Tigris and Euphrates River, the Ur of the Chaldees, where the Garden of Eden was. Remember Adam and Eve? All of us are related. We have the same father and mother. Adam is our father and Eve is our mother. And all of us are related. Why is it? Why is it? I want to ask you this morning. We hear all these things that are happening in the world today, especially in our country, and we have carved up our population into little different segments. And this one over here is a certain kind of American, and this over here is another kind of American, and here over here, this group, there's another kind of American. Why can't we just be Americans? Why can't we just be people? Why do we have to divide? You see, the devil is the divider. He's the one who divides us up and keeps us from understanding that we all have the same mother and father. That means that all of us are related whether we want to recognize it or not. And so God called him in the Ur of the Chaldees. And so that's a cradle of civilization. And he called him later on when he got into the land in Shechem in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. He certified that call at Bethel in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 15. He appeared to him, unto Abram, at Bethel. And he collaborated that call at Hebron in Genesis chapter 15 in verse 3. God said to him, look toward the heaven and tell the stars, count the stars if you're able to count the stars. At one time, men thought they knew how many stars there were. They had a certain number of stars that they could count. But then they found all these telescopes. And the truth is, we don't know how many stars there are. There are so many stars that we don't even know. Then we find that God gave a call again, repeated the call in Hebron in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8. And so God has called all of us. Have you heard the call of God? The song that we sing, Send the Light. We've heard the Macedonian call today, Send the Light. We were thinking about songs today, about to sing, about the friend of God, about Abraham. And I'll talk about some of his favorite songs in just a little bit. But God has called all of us. He's called us to salvation. He's called us to be justified. He's called us to be saved from the penalty of sin. He's called to give us eternal life. He's called us to save us from the power of sin, to sanctify us and set us apart to Himself from the world, the flesh, and the devil. He has called us that we might be glorified, to save from the very presence of sin, and that heaven will be our home. This world, if you're saved, is not our home. We're just passing through. And I'm glad there's a better place, that place which is called heaven. I'm glad that God, Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a state of mind for you. He didn't say that, did he? Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a, what's that word? Place for you. Heaven is a real place. And God wants all of us to go there. But there's only one way to go to heaven. And the Word of God says, Jesus said, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am a way? No. He said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. And so God's called us to save us from the penalty of sin. God saved us that we might go to heaven, that we might escape hell. You say, Brother Bill, is really a hell a real place? It sure is. But it was not prepared for you. Hell was not prepared for you. Do you know who hell was prepared for? The devil and his angels. And if you go to hell, you'll go there as an intruder, because God never intended for you to go there. If you go to hell, and sometimes people tell someone to go to hell, but my friends, if you go there, no one there will want you to come. You read in Luke chapter 16 about that man who went to hell. You say, oh, Brother Bill, here we go again. That hellfire and damnation stuff. I want to tell you, Jesus was the worst hellfire and damnation preacher that has ever been. If we had not heard his preaching, and if his preaching had not been recorded, we would not know much about hell, because Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And you know why he did? Because he doesn't want you to go there. He's not willing. The Word of God says that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And no one in hell wants you there. No one in hell will welcome you there. And so Christ came. He called us, every one of us. But secondly, look quickly, not only at the call of friendship, but the covenant of friendship. There are four or five I wills. Four I wills. And I'll mention those. Covenants that God made with Abraham. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. God said to Abraham, those who come from you, they're going to be a great nation. I'm going to give them prominence. And God gave over 300,000 square miles to the nation, to Israel. 300,000 miles. At the most, they've only possessed 30,000, a tenth of those of that area. And today, only 8,000 square miles Israel has today. But God said it's going to be the greatest nation that this world has ever seen. He said, I will make you a great nation. And I tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, God will do that. But he not only said, I will make you a great nation, but he said, I will bless you. God said he would bless the offspring of his people, the Jewish people. And God has blessed them. God has blessed them. Like Molly Brown, you can't keep them down. You can't keep them down. God, why can't you keep them down? because God has pronounced a blessing upon them. He said, I will bless you. And he said, I will make you a blessing. You say, how in the world have the Jewish people been a blessing? Right here, this book. God gave this book through Jewish, mostly Jewish instruments. You say, how has he blessed us? By Jesus, who's the Messiah, who's the seed of David, from the loins of Abraham. Jesus, the Son of God, and truly man. He said, I will make you a blessing. He said, I will bless you. I will bless you. And you shall, and shall all the families of the earth shall bless you. He said, I will bless them that bless you. Let me tell you something. If you want to be blessed, and if I were to ask you, all of you who want to be blessed, I've got both of my hands up, okay? I want to be blessed of God. And the great thing is, I can be blessed of God. For he made a promise to those. He said, I will bless them that bless you. And so be careful and be cautious that you bless the children of Abraham. I want that blessing, and I pray for the nation of Israel on a daily basis. I pray for his people, his earthly people, and God said he would give me a blessing. He said, I will make you a great blessing. He said, I will make your name great, Abraham. I'm going to make your name great in Abraham. And of these 40 verses in Hebrews 11, 11 of those verses are about Abraham. 30% of Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, is about Abraham. And there are more chapters in the book of Genesis about Abraham than anyone else. He said, I will make your name great. The name Abraham is the greatest name, the most recognized name of anybody in the world today. Father Abraham. And then he also said, not only, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, but he said, I will curse them that curse thee. Be careful not to curse the children of Abraham. Let me tell you some people who did. Let me tell you some folks who did. Do you know this guy? Adolf Hitler. He cursed the children of God. Killed 6 million of them. Tried to kill them. Look what happened to him. In the Old Testament, this man Haman. Remember Haman? He desired, and his goal was to kill all the Jews. Guess what happened to Haman? He was hung on the gallows that he built. And my friends, God has pronounced a curse. God has pronounced a curse on those who curse the children, those who are anti-Semitic, who hate the Jewish race. Amen. Amen. And so be careful. Be cautious. The Ku Klux Klan was anti-Semitic. And there are many anti-Semitic groups today who are Jew haters. If you are a Jew hater, God has pronounced a curse upon you. So the call of friendship. And where God calls, we're wise to obey. The covenant of friendship that God has given. Thirdly, the crisis of friendship. The crisis of friendship. God said to Abraham, get out. Get out from your country. Leave the Ur of the Chaldees. You think about that place. We think about the Ur of the Chaldees as a place where they lived in a cave, and the men carried big clubs, and they were dragging their wives by the hair of the head. That's what we think about those days, cavemen. Cavemen. You say, what about caveman? Listen, we have not evolved up. We've digressed down. It started, listen, they were living in the era of Chaldees in three-story houses. The archaeologists have dug there at the era of the Chaldees. They found three-story structures in that city. They were not living in caves. The men were not carrying clubs. They were educated. They knew about God. They found things there in there about trigonometry. Okay, scares me to death. Trigonometry, okay. I told you about Math 105, and I didn't get out of that. And then I decided, well, I took trigonometry. And then I said, well, I got that, and so I took algebra and all that kind of stuff. But that's kind of out of my realm, okay? Two and two is five, isn't that right? Okay. I just want to see if you were awake, okay? It is really two and two five? No? Okay, all right. Okay, I want to be sure. I don't want to get mixed up, okay? I want to get it right. And so these people were dealing with complicated mathematical problems that people are still trying to figure out what the answers are. And so these were not a bunch of country bumpkins, rednecks, that left the city of Ur. It was, he said, now, leave your country. And that's a hard thing to do. He's going to leave that three-story house, and guess what he's going to live in? Anybody know what he's going to live in? A tent. How many have said here today, oh, this is my dream house. What's your dream house? Oh, a pup tent. I want a tent. Nobody here wants to live in a tent. Absolutely not. He left probably a three-story place, and he left a great place there in Ur. And, by the way, they worship the moon god. You know the moon god, don't you? We're familiar with that. They worship the moon god there in Ur. They were a bunch of idolaters. Now, we say, you can understand, you know, think about all this thing. This man Abraham had a father who was an idolater and steeped in idolatry. You say, God can't use me. You don't know my background. You don't know about my family. So get out of your country. Get away from your kindred. Leave your father and your mother. And what did Abram do? Here's the crisis. He's leaving home. He's leaving his comfort zone. He's to leave the land that he's familiar with. He's to leave his father and his mother and his kindred. But he did not. He did not. He took his father with him. He took his nephew with him. He disobeyed God. Does that sound familiar? Sounds just like me. Sounds like some of you. We know what God tells us to do, and we don't do what he tells us to do. He disobeyed God. You see, there's no hope for me because I've disobeyed God. Abraham disobeyed God. And so there is hope for you and for me. God said, now I want you to leave, I want you to go to Canaan. Guess where he went? He did not go to Canaan. He went to Haran. Haran. Haran, the word means delay. And he spent 5 years in Haran. Wasted years. Wasted years. I've heard a gospel song guy sings. And that was a song he liked to sing. And the reason he would sing that song is that he spent several years in prison. Here's a guy who was singing gospel music. And he wound up in prison. And after he got out of prison, he would sing that song, wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. And the truth of the matter is that all of us have those wasted years. There's not a person here who doesn't have some wasted years. In Haran, wasted. I think about those years that I spent. There were 4 years that I spent in my life. So I was in college the first time that I, many very important things happened to me. But from a spiritual point of view, those years spiritually were wasted years. And I look back with great fear. I look back with great fear as I almost went over to make decisions that I would not be here today. And so they're wasted years. He said, I want you to leave your father. I want you to leave your country. I want you to go into the land that I will show you. So we see the call, we see the covenant, and we see the crisis. But fourthly, very quickly, we see the compliance of friendship. Finally, Abraham, when he's 75 years old, he's a citizen. He's a senior citizen. He can go to Golden Corral at lunchtime and get one of those senior deals. You know what I'm talking about? If your hair's gray, you probably know about that. Those of you who are not, you're interested in hot dogs and hamburgers and all that sort of thing. And people who have gray hair are looking for good deals, okay? Good deals. Okay. And I know where some of them are, okay? If you want to talk to me after the service and say, Brother Bill, tell me about some of those good deals, I can tell you where they are. Good eating places, okay? I will share some of my information with you. And so we see the compliance. Finally, he has his AARP card with him. He's retired now. He's got Medicare. Okay. He's on his way now. Finally, 75 years old. There he is, old gray-haired Abraham. He's on his way. On his way for God. And so he pitched his tent. He's left his 3-story house. And now he's living in a tent. He pitched his tent. He's looking for a city. That's what the Bible said. He's looking for a city. And his favorite song, we thought about trying to sing it today, This World is Not My Home. That was his favorite song. If you ask Abraham, what's your favorite song? Abraham would say, This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My labors, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so we find Abraham complying. His call gets you out. The covenant that God made with him. And by the way, the covenant of God is an unconditional covenant. An unconditional covenant. This covenant has not been given and signed over to the church. The church and Israel are two different entities. They are not the same. The church has not replaced Israel, and Israel has not replaced the church. Oh, my. And so we see the compromise of friendship. Quickly, I'm moving fast. We're in overdrive now, okay? We've hit the 4-lane, okay? And we're on up. We've put the cruise control on the very... We're not cheating now. It's 70 miles an hour. We're going to set it on 70. We're not going to set it like some of you do. I know there are folks here that when it's 70 miles an hour, you set it on 75. Amen. Oh, me. Help. Okay. And so we find the compromise. And so there was famine in the land. Famine in the land. And so what is Abraham going to do? God said, I want you to go to the land of promise. I want you to go and I want you to stay there. And what does Abraham do? He left the place God had put him. How often we do that. And so he compromised. He left and he went down to Egypt. You say, big deal. What's so bad about that? Well, while he was there in Egypt, he did not pray. God did not speak to him the first time. There was not any kind of communication with him. Nothing at all in the life of Abraham in Egypt. There were no altars. There was no prayer. There was no worship. There was no fellowship in Egypt. None of that at all. And Abraham lied like a sailor. His wife's really good looking. Sarah, she was really, really attractive lady. I know she was on Medicare, and I know she had her AARP card, but she was a real knockout. And so Abraham said, now, when we get down to Egypt, won't you, let's make a deal. You know, let's make a deal. And he said, when people ask you about us, you tell them that you're my sister. And that's exactly what happened. He lied through his teeth. You mean that God could use somebody that's lied through their teeth? I know that all of you probably like George Washington. When his father said, who cut down the cherry tree? You remember what George said? He said, I cannot tell a lie. I cut down the cherry tree. There's not a person here in this building who hasn't told a lie. Amen? Amen. You know what we are? A bunch of liars. We've not just told one lie. There's no telling how many lies that we've told. And you know what? Lying's a sin. And some of us said, after the whoppers that I've told, God could never use me. But God called Abraham, a man who told lies, a friend of God. Now, while I was in Egypt, the worst thing about this story is they had servants, and Abraham got rich. And prosperity is the most dangerous time in your life. It's the most dangerous time in your life. And he had servants, and they had a servant girl. Her name was Hagar. Hey, that's the innocent thing, isn't it? Hagar, remember that. Because we're going to see the rest of the story. The call of Abraham, yes. The covenant, yes. The crisis of friendship, yes. The compliance of friendship, yes. The compromise of friendship. We're going to see this later on. So I'll just go ahead and tell you. Hagar was the one that later on, Sarah said, God, we're going to help God out. We're going to have to help God out. God's not able to do what he said he would do, okay? So we're going to have to help God out. How many of us have you helped God out? My hand's up. I've helped him out. Lord, I'm going to help you out. So what we're going to do, what I want you to do, is I'm going to give Hagar to you, and you're going to have a secondary wife. Remember, God made Adam, then he took the ribs, and he made Eve. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to make you two or three wives. Amen? He said, I'm going to make you one wife. God's plan, one man and one woman for one lifetime. But she said, God just can't get the job done. He can't get it done, so we're going to have to help him now. And so you take this girl, and we're going to have, she's going to be your secondary wife, and you know the rest of the story. There it is. It's an old, 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 old story. An old story. And so, prosperity. A very difficult time. Very quickly, number six. The conflict is friendship. And God said, I want you to separate yourself. Separate thyself from me, I pray. Abraham said, if you take the left hand, I'm going to take the right hand. If you're going to take the left hand, I'll take the right hand. And you know the story of Lot and Abraham. And so he said, Lot, the land cannot support us. And if you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left hand. And if you And so we'll just go in opposite directions. And he said to Lot, I'm going to give you first choice. I'm going to give you first choice. And so Lot went out and he looked. And he looked towards the out in the well-watered area there and looked towards Sodom. He said, that's what I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose this over here, the well-watered plain, the Jordan Valley. And toward the cities of Sodom. It's a very familiar story. All of us have been there. All of us have been there. And Lot looked. He lifted up his eyes and said, this is what I want. This will make me prosperous. This will make me rich. This will get me ahead. This will get me what I want. He looked, and several days he went out and he'd look and he'd say, well, this is beautiful. This is wonderful. This is tremendous. Boy, I can make a lot of money. I can get rich. Oh, he looked and he longed. And finally, he begins to pitch his tent towards Sodom. And he doesn't move to Sodom the first day. He just gets a little closer and lifts a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer till one. Finally, he's in Sodom. That's what happens with boys and girls, teenagers. They get to moving the line and they get to where closer to and closer to crossing the line, get closer. And close. They don't do that the first time. No. They just keep on and keep on and keep on until finally, one day, there's a point of no return. And finally, Lot is living in Sodom. He's there. Sodom was a wicked city known for homosexual practices. We get the word sodomy from that. He looked. He longed, he lived, and he lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his wife. She looked back. God said, don't look back. And she looked back, and she turned a pillar of salt. And here he is fleeing for his life and finding a place in a cave. And finally, in a cave, here's a man. He never intended to be there. He never intended to find himself in a cave. He never intended to find himself broke with nothing in a cave with his daughters getting drunk. He never would have thought he would have gotten drunk. He never would have thought he would have committed incest with his daughters, but he did. That's the thing of sin. And he lost it all. He's a man who had everything, and he lost it all. But look at Abraham. He was gentle, and he said, let there be no strife. He was generous. He said, I'm going to give you first choice. And you take the first choice. That's up to you. Abraham was gentle and generous and godly, and he was great. And there it is. And finally, the last conversation I will talk to you today about was a conversation that Abraham had with God. And Abraham began to talk with him, and Abraham said, Lord, what's this about a son to you? What's this? You said you're going to make me like the stars of the my offspring like the stars of the sky and all of that. This covenant that you've made with me. And look at me. I'm an old man. And look at my wife. She's pretty. But she's an old woman. And life has passed us by. God, what about the promises that you've made to me? He expresses his doubt to God. And God gives him direction. And God speaks about desire. His desire, Abraham said, oh, that I might have an offspring. And he dreams a dream and a deep sleep comes upon him. And God says to him, your descendants are going to be slaves one day. And your life is going to be long. And your descendants are going to be rescued from Egypt. And your descendants are going to be restored to the land. Restored to the land. You see, the truth of the matter is that we haven't seen the rest of the story. The rest of the story. And so God says to Abraham, I'm going to keep my promise to you. To the world and to Abraham, it seemed to be impossible. And there was no way that his descendants could be as the stars of the sky. He's an old man now. And he's married to an old woman. God, he says, God, there's no way. But my friend, God deals in the impossible. And God is able to do those things that are impossible as far as the world is concerned. And God has promised to keep his word to us. And I want to tell you that every promise that God has made to me, he has kept those promises. And some of the promises that he made to me since I've been here with you, God has kept the promises that he made to me. And since I've been with you, he's given me some things that I asked him, Lord, many years ago, God, why have you taken all of these things away from me? And more than 30 years ago, I walked away from here broke, physically, financially, in every way. I walked away from this church a broken man. And I want to tell you that in the years that have fallen, God has restored everything that I lost and everything that I gave to him. And I thought I would never receive any of this back again. But I want to tell you, he's given me back more than I gave him. He's restored unto me those things, some of those things that I thought were gone forever. God keeps his word. Shall we bow our heads? As the musicians come forward, are you a friend of God? Have you been saved? Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you haven't this morning, we're going to have the invitation in just a moment. Or maybe there are those who've been saved but haven't followed Christ in believer's baptism. We invite you to come. And maybe your membership is elsewhere and God is speaking to you. We invite you to come forward. But I believe that those who, like Abraham, in those final parts of his life, he said, God, this is impossible. There's no way you're going to restore me. There's no way that you're going to be able to keep your promises, Lord. I don't see how that you're going to do that. But I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that God will do just that. And there's some folks here today who need some things restored to you. There's some things you think you've lost that God's never going to give you, that God's never going to allow you to have in your life. And you think those things are gone. Gone forever. But I want to tell you, God's a restorer of that which is lost. And God will not be in debt to any one of us. And there are those you think that the miracle's never going to come. That the miracle is never going to come. And there may be those who say today that life has passed me by. It's passed me by. And how shall I recover? I shall never recover. Oh, you don't know God. You don't know what it's like to be a friend of God. God is generous and forgiving, and gracious and loving. He desires to forgive us and restore us, to use us by his grace, by his power. Shall we stand, please? Will you come?